and welcome to the latest episode of In The Box. My name is Charlotte and I'm delighted to be back alongside Tom here in Newcastle to bring you a very special episode indeed.
We certainly are. We're here to see the Hattrick Project, which is all about loving sport for change. This Hattrick Project is the only one still in existence from funding many, many years ago, but there's hundreds of projects like this taking place up and down the country, week in, week out. And we're going to bring to you why your league or club should look to engage with such a project.
Now, I can hear the sounds of a football game going on. It sounds like a lot of fun. Tom, should we go and find out more?
Certainly will. Let's go. We want to introduce to the podcast Keith Parsons. Keith, welcome to the podcast. So we're here at one of 70 different sites that the project operates out of. Tell us a little bit about the Hattrick Project and why it exists.
So Hattrick's been running for 17 years now. It was opened in 2005 by Prince William. He visited up here, and it was a joint operation between the FA and UEFA, and there was 19 projects, Hattrick projects, set up nationally to do football in areas of disadvantage. 17 years later, we're the only project still running.
That's absolutely incredible, and thank you for the warm welcome that we've received here today as well. It's amazing. What kind of impact do you think the programme has had across the local community throughout those 17 years?
It's been huge, Charlotte. We are trying to change people's lives, and football and sport is kind of the way we want to do it, you know. Our kind of unique selling point at Hattrick in Newcastle is that we've all come through a process of volunteering with the project before maybe getting some skills, some qualifications, some awards, before then getting an opportunity to do sessional work, and then when the opportunity comes along, maybe a full-time job out of it. So, yeah.
But just give us a bit of a flavour of how many participants and stuff you see on a weekly basis.
Probably on average we work with about 2,000 children, young people a week, Tom, ranging right from reception all the way up to all the teenagers who sort of do more volunteering with us.
Keith, I have to ask, because you've mentioned volunteering a couple of times already, and for leagues and clubs across the country, being able to recruit and engage volunteers is a real challenge. You do that so successfully here across Hattrick. It's what's helped you keep you going for 17 years. What piece of advice would you give to our leagues and clubs to help them with that challenge?
I think the most powerful thing about our volunteers is they are young people from the same estates, from the same background as the children that they're coaching now, and that means the children can just relate to them a whole lot more. So we always find kind of hidden gems in the community who want to get involved but perhaps haven't had the opportunity in the past, so it's then giving them the opportunity to come deliver back to the children next door, to the children down the street who is a familiar, locally trusted person.
And that's so powerful and so important, and that's what we want to go and unpick a little bit more in the team talk.
I'm delighted to say that Keith has brought Dwayne in for this one. Dwayne, welcome to the podcast. Firstly, tell us a little bit about your role here at Hattrick.
Yeah, so my role, I'm managing mentor the volunteer programme here. So it's a big part of what we do. So it's 14 plus years for years old, and really, really, really love the programme. I think it's really beneficial for the kids in terms of just trying to give them opportunities, whether through us or other partners on board. Just trying to build their employability skills. Yeah.
And Keith, the work Dwayne's obviously doing helps you facilitate the amount of projects that you've got going on. How important is it having someone like Dwayne perform that role?
Oh, it's absolutely fundamental to what we do. Dwayne himself came through the volunteer process and is a role model, is a real leader for others to look up to and others to aspire to be like, being a local man from the community.
Dwayne, Hattrick seems to have developed a real strong pathway for players to have fun, but for volunteers as well. And we know that clubs and leagues can sometimes struggle to attract volunteers to give up their time. Everyone's so busy, there's multiple factors and reasons behind that. But what do you think attracts people to be a part of Hattrick? Not only kind of getting involved with the sessions, but volunteering their time.
I think a big thing is the staff. Our staff are local people, so they're from the local area and they've been exactly in the young person's shoes who are obviously wanting to start volunteering. I think that's a real big pull to kind of get the people, they get the community, they get the young people, and kind of get, you know, where they're at in life, so, because they've been there, did it.
And Hattrick, obviously, like you say, it's been in existence 17 years now, so it'll have a strong identity. But in the early days, Keith, How did you get the project out there into the community to engage all the children that you've got now?
It's changed a lot over the years. So for the first 3 years, it wasn't necessarily just football. That's all Hatrick used to do was football. Under the then manager, Mark Oliver, who I'm really good friends with and who got me involved in the project way back when. And it was predominantly just in the west end of Newcastle, so a really small area, working in schools and working in communities. And then over time, things have evolved and we've developed as a project and as people, as coaches, to do football, but do multi-sport as well. The environment we create where we play music at all our sessions, it's really fun, it's really friendly. Anybody can come and get involved. Yep. Everything's free of charge.
Yep.
We want to try and remove as many barriers as we possibly can to get people ultimately playing football. And although we do multi-sport now, football's our bread and butter. We live in Newcastle. It's a football-mad city, and that's what everyone likes to take part in.
I think what we've done as well is we've kind of got sessions everywhere and anywhere, like a patch of grass, as long as it's safe, we're there doing sessions, so it's anywhere and everywhere on the kids' doorsteps, really. So, yeah.
What I absolutely love is that aim and incentive to just get people playing football, and I think that's why all of us are involved in the game, whether it be with a league or club or a project like yours. What I really love about this programme as well is that you are enriching the community and you're linked in really well with the community. How do you set up those links with clubs and leagues around this patch?
Well, one, kind of we're from the area, so we've got that kind of link already. Two, it's just kind of simple conversations, don't we? And we've got the contact, so yeah, it's pretty straightforward, to be honest.
Sometimes it is as simple as that, isn't it? Just having a conversation and putting your club or your league out there.
Yeah, no, we've got a wealth of experience within the team now, and we've got links to lots of local partners, including junior football clubs. When Hatrick first initially started, we helped set up a local football club in this area called Westgate Juniors, who in 2005 had one team. They're now up to 20-something teams, I believe, and they're a real kind of pillar of the community within the west end of Newcastle.
If we look at football in a landscape now, obviously there is a 3G behind us here, but you just said there, Dwayne, that patch of grass we can find as a play, and sometimes leagues and clubs might have a perception that it's always got to look like that. I certainly didn't grow up playing on a stadium, if you like that. I'd class that as a stadium when I was a kid. So how important is it for leagues and clubs to take some of what you're doing here and actually implement it back at their league or club just to get kids playing?
Like Dwayne said, we can literally rock up anywhere with our music player and with our equipment and put on a session. Multi-use games areas are really good to use. A patch of grass in the middle of the estate, that's what the children will come out and do. If you can literally see a coach from your bedroom window or from your front door who's doing a session outside, and it's fun, it's friendly, and all your mates are there, they're going to come and want to take part.
I think that's where we come in, though, isn't it? Because I mean, clubs, they're already something struggle to get them volunteers for the door to kind of run teams. So if they've got organisations like ourselves and around kind of doing that work in the community and kind of, you know, pushing people their way, obviously that's a good little link. So yeah,
definitely. And obviously the club programme that the FA run now is a really good link to that as well. With consultants going out there and working with clubs and then potentially linking with partners like Hatrick.
But sometimes there are mistakes and learnings along the way, and when you run a programme for 17 years, I'm sure you've encountered some as well. If you were to give some advice or perhaps share where volunteers can avoid mistakes that you've made and learn from, what would you share?
Be open-minded. I think trying to tell a 14-year-old like the benefits of volunteering and kind of all the stuff that comes with that, the kind of, let's be honest, like, just go straight over the head. But definitely, be open-minded, kind of, at least give some hours voluntary of the week. I mean, 1-2 hours a week isn't a lot of time. So definitely that would be one of them. Two, just kind of have a positive attitude towards helping other people, I guess, and helping the community. And I think that's where the volunteer programme, especially with staff, that's exactly what they do. And I think that's why we've been so successful for like 17 years now, so yeah.
I think building on top of that, Dwayne, as well, it's about the culture of the organisation, and it's about kind of us being very bottom up. So we always make sure that we don't just sit and come up with ideas, and we want the young people themselves to be the ones that come up with the ideas and tell us what they want to take part in, and then we kind of facilitate it, don't we?
Yep.
I think that's crucial for leagues and clubs. Obviously, I'm involved in a league, Charlotte. I'm involved in the club. it's things here that you're quick to forget about. Just having music on just breaks down a few barriers and makes it a bit more welcoming and open, and that's something I think that leagues and clubs could certainly take away from some of the advice that you've given us there.
Well, guys, thank you so much for giving up your time to come on the podcast and share some really fantastic tips with us as well. That is not the end of the team talk, though. There are plenty of others that we're going to get some insight from, including Anne-Marie and Michelle.
I love the Hat Trick Project because I get to meet new people over there. They give us all the opportunities to play football with other schools.
I like the Hat Trick Project because it teaches us new games and how to have fun.
So as if by magic, we've now been joined by both Michelle and Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, I'm going to start with yourself. Why did you get involved in such an exciting project?
I initially got involved through joining a fitness class after I had my baby. The coach running a fitness class from here, St John's itself, and I joined in there, saw what they were doing, volunteered with them for a bit and went out and saw with lots of different age kids and loved it, and I just took it from there, basically.
And Michelle, I just wanted to ask you, how much of an impact has the project had on you personally?
It's been a massive impact. I first started out as a volunteer, same with Anne-Marie, and I worked up the scale up to casual coaching, and I went to full-time employment. And through the Hat-Trick process, I've gained loads of qualifications, level ones, level twos, and it's basically made me a better person.
Like you say, you've progressed into full-time employment. Just tell us what it is you do now.
So I'm a sports development coach. I currently deliver active through football, gated sessions, working with women 16+.
What kind of an impact do you think football and sport more generally can have within local communities like this one?
Yeah, I think it has a massive impact. It gives some people from the area to come together, join in, not just for the physical side of things, but the mental side of things as well. It's a win-win.
And you've got a couple of sessions taking place later as well. Just give us a flavour of sort of the age groups and stuff that you're looking after.
So my session tonight, it's for women 16+. And basically what we do is we do like warm-up skill games and then we end on a game. And it's just that fun element. It's nothing serious, it's nothing competitive, it's just getting them involved.
And being active is so important. And Anne-Marie, you were telling us earlier off camera that this is an area of social deprivation, so the impact of these sessions is even more important. Tell us about how the children interact and just exactly what they take away.
Yeah, I think just getting involved from start, we'll offer them free sessions as well, so it's not there's no impact on their parents allowing them to come. The safety thing of it, they come, they enjoy it, they get, and we build good relationships with them. You know, these kids come, they're happy to see you, and if it makes them want to come back, then that's great for them.
We've had the success of the Lionesses, obviously winning the Euros, and you're doing like girls only sessions that you've not really seen before. So what sort of impact is that having on the local community?
I think it's huge at the minute. I run an all-girls football session on a Friday night. I've got two different age pitches as well for them, and they're full, they're well attended, which we would never have seen 2 or 3 years ago. So it's had a massive impact on it.
There's a female participant that attends one of my sessions on a Tuesday, and she's just become a volunteer. And the impact I've seen on her, it's built her confidence and everything. She never used to be able to play football. She's never kicked a ball before, and it's just built that confidence up to kind of get into the game.
Well, hats off to you both. You're doing an absolutely incredible job. My final question to the pair of you, what is the thing you love most about your role here?
I think it's just seeing smiles on people's faces and getting more people involved in the game. I think like it's a massive opportunity for someone to come on board and kind of have this opportunity like what we have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll echo what Michelle says. Just seeing the kids enjoying themselves coming, and like we say, the volunteer programme that's available through our project gives all that much more opportunities.
Well, Anne-Marie, Michelle, thanks for joining us. I see the floodlights have just come on, so I'll let you go get ready for your session, and we're going to go try and find some other people to talk to.
Well, I'm delighted to say I am now joined by David Jones, who works for Northumberland FA. David, a very warm welcome to In the Box. First things first, tell us about your role at the local county FA.
So I'm head of football development at Northumberland FA. So I do a variety of things, looking after England football accreditation, number one at the moment, and supporting company organisations like Hat-Trick as well, delivering different programmes in the community.
There's so much amazing work going on across the whole landscape, and we focus a lot on clubs and leagues, and in your role, of course, you do as well. But just how important is it to have projects like this supporting and supplementing that work?
Oh, it's vitally important. Speaking from my own personal experience, when I was at primary school, I started playing football with organisations just like Hattrick coming to my school, teaching us the new skills and tricks that I've seen Newcastle players deliver. And you can see it already out here that the kids are doing exactly the same thing that they've seen Anthony Gordon do at the weekend, running past people, Miguel Almiron celebrations, all sorts. It's brilliant to see. And I know as well that they have this really positive experience to start their footballing journey. They keep going and going. I'm still playing now from that initial positive experience. So it's absolutely brilliant that what the work they do.
You're so right, because that initial experience is a very influential one. And we can just see from the players behind us, the smiles on their faces. But we've learned a lot today about the other skills and the other benefits it has on the local community. We work in the game. We love the game. So we know the kind of impact it has. But how do we communicate that effectively to our local communities to help get more of these projects going?
That's a big question, isn't it? I think it's showing it. So having people come today to video it and show the children's faces, how much they enjoy it. Even the young coaches themselves, how much what they're getting out of it, working with young people, starting their careers in football is absolutely brilliant as well. But it's not just playing. You can do it as coaching, officiating, volunteering, running teams on the, you know, outside off the pitch as well. So yeah, it's I guess it's shouting about it, something that as a county FA we try and do lots with monthly newsletters, giving people shout outs for really amazing work they do that maybe doesn't get recognised necessarily, you know, the role of treasurers, welfare officers that no one talks about, but is absolutely vital for grassroots football.
We're in the box has come to Hattrick today to try and take away some of the golden nuggets of advice that we can give to our clubs and leagues. So what do you think clubs and leagues can learn from what you've seen here at Hattrick over the years?
I think grassroots clubs in particular can really learn about reaching out to their communities as much as possible. Some of them do amazing work with food banks, with providing free football boots and kits to help kids play that maybe can't afford that. And so it's, yeah, getting them to really understand who their local schools are, who their community centres are, and reaching out to them, because often there'll be mutual benefits to both parties.
I think that's the really key thing for me that I've taken away from today, that authentic, just go and look and talk to your local community. They're there and they're going to want to be involved with football because it's such a great conversation starter and a thing to be a part of. It's great to have you on as a local County FA official as well, because County FAs can be such an amazing support for leagues and clubs. So what piece of advice would you give to our listeners, to our volunteers, who perhaps might not necessarily be aware of what their County FA can offer them?
I think it's starting the conversation. Often clubs feel that maybe we only reach out when they've done something wrong, but not at all. I love visiting the clubs, and we often go out on safeguarding visits, and that's quite a formal thing that we do, but actually that's when we speak to parents and coaches and we find out little bits of information that we wouldn't have learned any other way other than going out and speaking to them. So it's trying to make that conversation happen more often, with people coming to us and sharing their own ideas. We often ask our, you know, community for feedback, and it's people seeing that feedback come in and then actually something happen as a result of it. So, you know, getting more clubs to run fun sessions like this. There's a number of community clubs in our area that are now running fun clubs, which they never used to do, which is fantastic, because that means children who maybe don't want to play for a team every week and have that pressure, they can still turn up on an evening, their parents can drop them off, and they get a really fun experience playing football. It doesn't have to be that traditional model all the time.
You just can't be a cuppa and a conversation sometimes in the world of football, can you? And David, we really appreciate you giving up your time to talk to us.
No, thank you for coming
on In the Box. Let's see who Tom's found to speak to.
The best thing about Hattrick is like how like kind and generous they are and how they come up with the ideas.
The best thing about Hattrick is when they come to our school at lunch times and they get to play with us too.
They'll let we'll play fun games.
So I've now managed to grab Marie. Marie, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you.
Can you just tell us a little bit about your role here at the school?
Yeah, I'm a school business manager for St John's Primary, but part of that is also running the turf facility. So we have community sport facility. It's open 12 hours a day, pretty much, all the way through the summer holidays, and Hattrick is a big part of delivery within that.
What does their delivery look like for the school, and what does it mean to the school?
Well, for the school, they deliver every lunchtime, so part of our lunch provision is sport provision delivered through Hattrick, and they also have 3 after-school clubs with us as well, which we're able to run for free through the school, which is fantastic help for the local community. And then, as I've mentioned, in holiday clubs, we have at least 1 day a week with Hattrick, where they come in and deliver to children of all ages. course.
Oh, that's fantastic. What does it mean to the kids having a project like that on the lunchtime and after school?
It means everything. The children are active, they're able to take part in sport and activities, but it's also to see that there are careers in sport that's not going off to become a Premiership footballer, that there are other things out there. There are volunteers here who came to this school who are known from the local area, and that's really important for our children to look at that, to see those role models.
I know enrichment's a big part of schools now, and that must fill you with pride, obviously, seeing the kids and them progressing, whether it's in football or outside of football.
Absolutely, in all of the sport and activities that we do. We have a huge sports curriculum in school. We've got our own great sport development work, and the turf is a huge part of that. Partnership working with Hattrick is invaluable towards that.
How do you see the partnership moving forward?
I can only see you getting stronger. We're already looking at joint apprenticeship working, so that Hattrick have apprenticeships that work in school. We're looking at community development work for some of our parents, for some of the older children, so that move outside of the primary school and working in the wider community.
And obviously there's a lot of projects like Hattrick around, and there's a lot of business managers in schools like yourself. If you were to give anyone a top tip to get started in establishing a relationship like you've got here, what would it be?
It'd be to pick up the phone in the first instance, make those local contacts. Like you say, there are other businesses like Hattrick doing it. My opinion, Hattrick are the best at doing it. But we have strong networks of school business managers. Like you say, there's a lot of us, and having those conversations, doing that promotion internally is how we get in touch with a lot of those companies.
Well, hopefully this podcast and yourself and Hattrick leading the way will get more schools and more projects doing exactly what you're doing here, enrichment all about the kids in their community. Let's go try and find some volunteers to talk to.
It's been fantastic to meet so many amazing people, and I'm delighted to have alongside me now Keith, who is a volunteer here at Hattrick. Keith, thank you so much for joining me. First things first, how did you get involved with the project?
I first got involved through Keith Parsons, the manager of Hattrick project, through football on a weekend. I recently retired from the police force and was looking to get into voluntary and charity work, and was an ideal opportunity. I've got a background in football, playing and coaching at the junior age, so it was an ideal thing to do.
And how has that opportunity impacted upon you personally?
Massively. It's not a cliche, but the smiles on people's faces. I take part in the session mainly on a Wednesday, and it's the West End refugee session. So it's adults 18 plus. Numbers an issue, we're like 5 to 6. Now we're getting 18 people in for sessions. We've managed to get strips for people, boots for people. Like, you know, it's been fantastic. And not just having a game of football, it's getting a bit of fitness in, getting the skills, getting the drills done as well. So we're really, really enjoying it. And hopefully at some point we'll get a game of 11-a-side between my over 40s football team and the people that I coach.
Well, by the sounds of it, it doesn't seem like that might be too far off.
No, definitely not. Within the next couple of weeks, really, to be fair. You know, we've got all the kit now, and we've had some fantastic donations from across the northeast with kit and football boots. So it's really pleasing to see as well.
That's amazing to hear. Now, having worked in the police force, I'm sure that your understanding of the impact that football can have is huge. How important is it for projects like Hattrick?
It's massive. It's a massive diversionary project as well, not just for the health and the sporting aspects of it, but it's basically giving kids and adults a purpose. That, you know, it's fantastic to see on a daily basis.
And Keith, finally, what is the thing that you love most about your volunteering role here?
Like I said before, it's the smile on people's faces. That, you know, knowing that you're making a bit of a difference, and that people are actually, you know, that they're getting out and about, they're meeting new people, and they're getting fit at the same time.
Well, Keith, thank you so much for your time, and keep helping put those smiles on participants' faces here in Newcastle.
Thank you very much.
Right, let's see who Tom is talking to now.
Best thing about the Hattrick project is of the coaches.
The best thing about the Hattrick project is having, like, lots of fun.
The Hattrick project supports me with staying healthy and happy.
So now I'm joined by Liam at this fantastic project here in Newcastle. Liam, thanks for joining us.
No worries.
Just a few questions for you as a volunteer. What does it mean to you personally being a volunteer on a project like Hattrick?
Well, Hattrick is, I think there was like the opportunities that they've given us throughout the years. They're just like, my time isn't enough, to be honest. I wish I could get more.
What is it you do away from Hattrick?
I'm
other than Hattrick, I'm an assistant sports coach for a football team under sevens. I'm trying to get more experience through coaching in different fields and all that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
At the moment, I just want to become a better coach in general. So by doing different jobs as well, like I'm applying for different roles in coaching different fields and like in schools. But like that's pretty much at the moment, just trying to get more experience on us.
And that's the best thing you can do, experience out there volunteering.
Yeah, experience is gold in this field. Like degrees and all that don't mean a lot when you like haven't got the experience.
No, if you can match that up and show that you're out there delivering, working hard, I'm sure you'll have success in the future.
Oh, totally, yeah.
What can you see for this project moving forward?
I think since I've been here, with the advancements in different fields, such as trying to push for women's football, just for, even through my experience, we do on Fridays we do a girls only football club, and we saw real advancement in technique and ability and confidence, and like a real group of people getting better and even better as a person. I mean, like just I think through sports, there's so much that can make people better in just total in different fields. I know I'm understanding it a bit, but like just in communities and like different people from different backgrounds getting them together through sport, that's what the whole aim is about.
The power of football.
Yeah, the power of football. That's one of the sports. Like we do different sports from like netball, done rugby, but like football is a big one since it's of course the biggest sport in the world.
Especially here in Newcastle. Oh,
especially in Newcastle. Especially, definitely. I think everywhere we go, the kids just like scream football. And so I think going back to the girls' football, in the past historically there's been very little, nothing for the girls, and I think especially after the Euro win for the women, this has been a lot of the right light on the for them, getting a lot more backing from people higher up. So yeah,
absolutely super. One final question for you, Liam, and I'll let you go. For yourself as a volunteer, how well supported do you feel by those around you?
Oh god, put it this way, when I first started, I was had a massive battle with anxiety. Couldn't leave the house, couldn't leave the top of my street, that's honestly that. And through people like Dwayne, just pushing us a bit further. And so like I think this common chair is where I started really, because my house is literally down the road. And so I could, so it was a bit comfortable, but eventually I felt great. And I said, okay, let's go to West Denton, which is a bit further. And then before you know it, I was travelling down Birmingham with them, delivering down there. So like I think the opportunities are given is not just through experience and the people and confidence levels, qualifications as well, which is as much as it says volunteering is great and all that, the things that they give me is that's not really volunteering, because you get qualifications, you get this experience. So in the field of coaching, the field of sports, that's massive. You know, like people like saying, oh right, he's got this, he's got that, and so it allows you to go into different jobs, knowing if you have experience working with different people, different, even not even sports, things like locking up and all, like what you have to do when you're in the grounds and all that. These are all being facilitated to me, pardon, by Hattrick. They're all like, they pushed all the way, positive, like a family really, like no one, not one person's ahead, everyone's on the same level and just gets on and does it, like, and it's brilliant.
Liam, take me off to you. Anxiety is not an easy thing to overcome.
It's horrible.
But having a purpose through a project like this.
Yeah, through sport, definitely. When I first started, I didn't grow up with football. I grew up with computer games and all that. And so having that, my bedroom being a safe zone and all that, and then now getting the field of like every Friday morning having to run through the West Road because there's no buses on, trying to get over to the East End, like where I do football, running around, things that I love. You know what I mean? Football's a passion. Sports is a passion, I beg your pardon. Sports is like everything. You know what I mean, like just every type of sport, like it's just but yeah, going back to anxiety, it was hard. I couldn't, like, back when I was at college, it was like I had to take a few weeks off, like it was horrible, and they understood that, and they like the pushers and had that support there. So if I needed a chat and all that, when I've had chats in the past with them, and they're just like, and they really show like fun, so I couldn't have done this like back when I started, and so now, like, I think as much becomes Hattrick is involved, I think like everything, like when you say back the first question, what the main is, the answer is everything.
And I can understand why now, Liam. Thanks ever so much for joining us. I wish you all the best for the future.
Awesome, thank you very much.
Cheers, Paul.
Well, what another inspirational episode of In The Box here in Newcastle up in the northeast. We joined the Hattrick Project and they gave us lots of insight and top tips about how projects like this are having such an impact on their community and just some of the ways you as a league or club can look to engage with such projects.
And don't forget that the conversation does not stop here. Come and join us on Clubhouse, our free online community where you can learn even more, connect with volunteers across the country and share your tips as well. That is just about all we have time for here in Newcastle today and for this episode of In The Box. Until next time, goodbye.